Yeah, so I first want to thank Gabriele for the title. So he called the infamous master equation during his talk. And all the rest of the organizers, I'm very happy to be here. What I want to talk about is these local master equations and the thermodynamics that we can do with them. The first things that I want to say is that these local master equations can be derived in this usual setup of thermodynamics when one starts with a system weakly coupled to heat bath. So the system will be described with the Redfield equation and then in some limits. So when internal energy interaction is weak, I will be more specific later. So when this is weak, the solution of the Redfield equation or the solution of the local master equation gives a good approximation for the Redfield equation. So this was studied long time ago in these articles where Jürgen is part of the group, and recently here it was Luis, here it was Marti and Geraldine, and there is also this little bit more recent article dealing with it this aspect. So what I want to do is different. I want to take the local master equation as an exact model, so not so considering them as in the beginning maybe toy models that describe exactly some physical process. So in this context, it was studied by the group of Prosen, Thomas Prosen, and Marco Snidarik. Right, so they take this, they consider this local master equation. So I will give an example in a minute, but so with a dissipator describing the effect of a left environment and a right environment, and they analyze the steady state. So T goes to infinity, rho goes to an equilibrium steady state, and for them it was very interesting because there are properties of this state that are shared with properties of classical systems that describe a non-equilibrium system that are also exactly soluble. So these solutions can be written as matrix produced state, and these have analogies with solutions for some exclusion processes, etc. So I want to give an example. Equation to be more concrete. So my example will be, I will use it a lot. So the system will be a spin chain. So there are n spins here. And here there is an environment at a given temperature. So this will be 1 over T. And the effect of this environment is described. So we have this, the rho will be gamma So this dissipator, what it does is to thermalize just the first spin. So so with this, if we take dT rho 1 for the first spin, and then here just the Hamiltonian associated to the first spin, neglecting the coupling to the rest, so this will be this plus this dissipator, then this rho 1 as time goes to infinity will go to minus eta some partition function, which is the exact Gibbs state, right? But this is true in this case, and we are considering that the equation contains here the full Hamiltonian, the Hamiltonian of the full chain, right? So in this case, so. T goes to infinity will be different of the Gibbs state, right? So so Lewis will say now here there is a problem with the zero law of thermodynamics, right? Okay, there is also a problem with the second law, and this was noticed in this article by Anikam Levy and Ronnie Koslow. So here, they question the second law. And the system they consider is like the analogous of this one if I take two spins, but with two oscillators. So there is a cold temperature, two oscillators.
Two spins is the same.
Yeah, two spins is the same. And what they found is that, so I will write it for oscillators because I have it here for oscillators. And this H cold And similarly for the comet. So here we have to change A to B and H to C. Okay, so there is a dissipator that if the oscillators are uncoupled, the cold bath will thermalize the oscillator to the, at the left. And also, if they are decoupled, the right oscillator will thermalize to the temperature of the hot bath. But in the if cold, T cold is smaller than omega hot, T hot, there will be a current from cold to hot, right? So this is a if this happened like that, I mean, without anybody doing something else, this is a violation of the second law of thermodynamics.
What is your current here? Is it like an internal or from the bath?
Yeah, it's from the bath. And here, so this G, which will be, let's say, G cold, will be trace HS will be called rho and will be equal to minus G hot. Okay, and this is in the steady state. Okay, so because there are these problems that they appear when one just look at the master equation. So the, we have the master equation and we are trying to figure it out, the thermodynamics. What I want to do is to find a microscopic model from where one can obtain this master equation. And in this microscopic model, to study the thermodynamics and then take the limit where the microscopic model gives me the master equation, right? So this is what I want to do. So here I want to do, so what I want to do. And this microscopic model is called the repeated interaction or collisional model to give this thermodynamic description at the microscopic level. And here I follow the work of Massimiliano. Three. So three I will write here what will be like the main conclusion of all what I want to do. That is, even if all quantities all the quantities that appear in the local master equation, the Hamiltonian, so are time independent. So the Hamiltonian is time independent, and all the Lindblad operators are time independent. Everything is time independent. There is a work associated to this equation. So, it's a work cost. So what I say is that there is a work cost for an agent which is the guy that is implementing these dynamics on the system. So this will be like the main conclusion.
So will your suggestion resolve the trouble with the series and the seconds law, or is that not what you're doing?
Sorry?
You mentioned problems with the zeroth and the second law,
yes.
So your approach is going to resolve that also, or?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's adding work.
Yeah. So because there will be work here, so I can go to this case. This will happen, but there will be work. So this is a refrigerator. Ah. I'm doing work, and then heat is going.
I think zeroth law is still the same conclusion right there.
And zero law, so I want to say something about the zero law. So I want to talk about the zero law. Perhaps.
And with box power.
And without equilibrium. Then map with equilibrium. So I will mention here some relation between this notion of that I will explain a map of with equilibrium and detailed balance. Then briefly, I will mention as a non-trivial example or an example of this system with detailed balance, the smallest refrigerator. Which is a paper by Lindman. Right. So they in this paper there appear a model for a 3-qubit refrigerator, and the nice thing of this model is that should work autonomously, so should call the system without anybody doing nothing, right? So What I say is that if we consider the model as an exact model, so we don't, we're not considering these approximations of small interaction, etc., then the refrigerator is not autonomous. Because there is an agent that should do something. So this I will. And then very briefly I will say something about fluctuations. Okay, so this is my plan. So I want to say that the points 1, 2, 3. So this is from these articles. Points 1, 2, 3. This is for seven. So this is a paper that will appear at some point in EPGST, but for the moment this on the archive. And so here it is, 5 and 6. So the relation to detail balance and the example. Right, and Cristóbal Lledó was a master's student, but now he's in London doing a PhD. Okay, so what is this, the microscopic model that will give me the local master equation? So I consider that there is a system. So my system will be this spin chain, but can be a spin, complicated spin network or oscillator networks. So I have a system described by a density matrix, a bath. I will have to. So I say a little bit more about the bus later. And we say that initially the full system bus is in this probe state, and then there is a unitary evolution that brings me to. To this new state for the full universe. Okay, so the system will be in this new state, which is I have to trace over the bath. The bath will be traced through the system. Okay. And what they will do is to iterate this for the system. So we pay attention now to what's happening to the system, which is this. And therefore, I will reiterate, so put here, so to obtain rho s 2 prime, replacing here rho s by rho s prime. So this will be the repeated interaction. So I will change a little bit the notation, and I will say that rho s is rho 0, so because it's vision time. And then the dynamics is rho 0 goes to rho 1, which is trace V. And then rho 1 goes to rho 2. And in general, plus 1 is this. So the bath is always in the state rho b. So we iterate for rho s, but rho b is always a new copy of the bath. So the way that this is, one can depict this is to say, okay, I have here the system, and there is a sequence of baths that will come in this state rho b. So they are all in the state rho b, and the system is interacting here with this one, that after the interaction will be in this rho b prime, but then it's gone, right?
Just comment here that this originally idea goes back to Schwinger. It's called a collision. In Schwinger's language, it's a collision knot.
Okay, yeah, so these are much older because I forgot to write the reference that I have here. So the one that I learned it from this Kanevsky. This is a TRL 2009. I know about this, which is but yeah, I guess that is much, much older than.
I think Schwinger is probably 1950 something.
It's too far. In the 25 years, probably you can find a paper with collision models.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there are two ways of looking at this iterative dynamics. One is like that, with these many copies of the bath that after the interaction, I don't care about them. Or I can consider that I have one copy, it interacts, and then I have to refresh this copy and bring it back to rho b. Like, so that will be we have to consider there is another process that will change this rho b prime to rho b. Now, the u, so we have in mind that u represent the dynamics. Lots of time so where the system is coupled to the bus, so I will take h bar equal to 1 and this v so this v, while the system are coupled, I consider it as time independent, but in the full description, the coupling is time dependent because I have to connect the bus to the system and disconnect. Okay, I have to connect the bus to the system and disconnect. So this V, the one that appears here, is this value there, but as a function of time. This goes to 0 after. So there is a V of t. And because there is a time dependent coupling, there will be work. So this is where this work is coming from. OK, I will consider that this V satisfies this property, which is, as Marty said, is something that one can usually assume, because if it is different from zero, I can modify the Hamiltonian of my system to include it there. So this is something that one does usually. Okay, and then I will show how this goes to the Lindblad equation. So the Lindblad limit is to take V to scale the interaction. So this is again an operator, and here I put a square root of tau this time, and I will take n to infinity, tau to 0, and n tau a time t. Okay. So because I'm taking tau to 0, I will expand this unitary up to second order. So it will be identity e tau hs plus hv plus v small v root of tau minus tau square over 2 is hp v square root of tau square. And I need to put this on the left hand side, and then the dagger on the right hand side. And I want to collect, I will collect all terms that are order tau. So I will have that rho n plus 1 is, so the unitary, the identity at both sides will give me this term, and then when I trace, I get only rho n. So I will have rho n. Then I will have, so all this, so there is a tau here. So all this with the rho and the identity here, this contribute to order tau, and identity here, this guy, and this contribute to tau, right? So, and so this will give me a commutator, which is minus tau ah plus b. So this is not order tau, the one that has the square root, I put it there anyway. Pro N Pro B and here so trace. But because we are considering this property, this term here goes to zero. Okay, it's because it will be the trace of V with rho B. Yeah, and the other terms that are order tau are so here this is order square root of tau, so if it comes from the left and right it will give a tau. So this will be then, so what I will get is trace B V O M O B V. Right, so then I subtract this 1 plus 1 minus 1 tau goes to 0. I will get rho dot minus hs rho s. So the commutator of hb with rho b will disappear with a trace. Plus trace B. Yeah, and this term so now, okay, so because I want to go now to thermodynamics, I will take that this rho B is E minus beta some HB theta B, so I will call it like that. So I use that there, and this will give me minus beta epsilon pi. So here, H B has eigenvalue these epsilon that they are there, and the L I J J V I. Okay, so and so all this I will, one can write it, or this dissipator. So this zero is also. So R is an index from with ij with I smaller or equal than j, and so LR is LJ. This for me today. Okay, so this is the.
That is a form of V final, because I think you need a kind of rotating wave approximation in the structure of V to get rid, you know, of some. Of diagonal terms.
So, I mean, this holds for any V for the moment.
I doubt. Because what is the relation between L and V? What is the form of
L and V? Is here. So this is L and this is V.
So you claim that V is arbitrary?
Yes. So,
yeah, but this doesn't have to lead to detailed balance. You're asking too much.
Yeah, so for the moment, I will talk about detailed balance.
Okay, so at this moment, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. It has all the shape, right? But it's not yet.
Okay.
So, example. Again, my this spin chain. So this will be the system Hamiltonian, then the coupling B is something proportional to this. So this zero is not part of the system, it belongs to the bath. And the Hamiltonian of the bath, of the copy, is just a single spin in a magnetic field. Right, so this will give, if I compute the Lindblad operator, there.
Just before you erase it completely.
Yes.
You had this V over square root of tau there.
Yes.
The V you already erased. So I see that this all works out, but somehow the scaling is sort of strange. Usually when I have an interaction or something applied for a time t and I want to split that up, I would let the pieces be V divided by tau and not square root of tau. It seems to me like if you like the accumulated effect of all the summed V of tau. Understand what I mean? I mean, it's not. I'm not doubting your results.
Because he's keeping the V squared terms over here.
Yeah, I see that it mathematically works out a way.
So what Karevsky and Platini and so the there was so they worked with some mathematicians, Atal. And so what they say, the claim, is that any other scaling will be either trivial, so you have an isolated system, so only the Hamiltonian part, or the limit that the limit does not exist.
So it's a mathematical.
It's a central limit theorem somehow. You can have to scale only by the square root. Other scaling doesn't.
Now work. What I do in my computer is I don't have to show it here, but I compare just this iterative dynamics with tau equal 1, and I put the dot, and I then plot the solution of the Lindblad equation, and they go together.
Yeah, I believe all this. I just don't have any sort of, it sort of is against my physical feeling. That's all I want to say.
When you derive the master equation, the traditional master equation, at some point, when you do the cross-graining, you write the g squared tau, or g squared delta t, is some new rate gamma. And it's mathematically is equivalent to that step.
There would be another way. I could derive this from a Poisson model with weak collisions.
Yeah,
and so it would be through the central limit theorem, it would lead to weak collisions, so many weak collisions as Gaussian, and you would get the same scheme.
Yeah, so that derivation is in the article of Massimiliano in FISREV X. Yeah, so with this, so you see that the I have some spin chain.
Just one question.
And then the spin like that travels.
There's a question.
Yeah, just one more, sorry. This assumption that you take, you know, your individual unit of the bath to be one qubit, this is just something that is convenient, right? I could take, in this form, if I look at it now, I could take, for instance, another spin chain as HB.
Right.
And it's fine. I mean, it's more complicated than the operators, but it's still okay, right?
Still okay, yeah.
Okay.
So then in this case, there will be the Lindblad terms will just be the ones that couple the jump in the spin. So this will be some lambda and 1 minus. And all the rest are 0. So that will give me the Lindblad equation I wrote at the beginning. You know, I wrote a Lindblad equation as an example. Will be obtained like that. Okay, so the repeated interaction in this limit, tau goes to 0, scaling the interaction with square root of tau, and n goes to infinity, gives me Lindblad. And so what I want to do now is the...
Now that you say that n goes to infinity, the small n going to infinity, in which part did you require this?
Yeah, well, it's not so important, but if not, this will be always at the initial time, so you need a lot of iterations to advance in time. But if not, this would be whatever when it's finite will be zero time. It's something silly. Okay, so now, so this was the dynamics. Now the thermodynamics. So the thermodynamics, as I said, I follow Massimiliano New Journal of Physics, and I have, write again this, rho s. So now here I put a thermal state for the bath. Then rho s prime is trace this you remember, right? Rho s and similar for this one. And I consider that the system in this process changes its energy according to this. Okay, so this is the energy change in this process, rho dot goes to rho dot prime. The heat that flow from the bath to the system is given by minus the change in energy of the bath. So this will be with the signs like that. And to have this, the zero law, so the work is the trace of HS. The first law. Right, I add this and I get delta E. And this one can see that it is minus the trace of V. What do I have it? V rho dot prime plus the trace of V rho dot. So this is zero because we assume that the trace of V times the state of the bath is zero. And so the work is given by this term here that one can see that correspond to the moment when we switch off the interaction. Right? So this part here, if I consider that the work is the energy change of the total system, so rho dot P prime, and here take the derivative of the total Hamiltonian, then when I switch off, so there is this step, this will give that piece off, this part here. So the work is due to this switching off of the interaction. So these are for the heat work, and then the entropy change will be the von Neumann entropy change. So the entire S will be and one can show that this is which has two parts. One is some mutual information plus D. Okay, so this D is this relative entropy. And this will represent the entropy production if I have to thermalize the copy after the interaction, bring it again to a thermal state. But if I leave it, as I said, if I don't thermalize and I imagine that I have many copies of my bath and I let them go, this term, so one can say that only this term will be the entropy production, so this mutual information will be the entropy of rho S prime plus, so this is so this is S plus prime or B prime minus S or total prime. And because the von Neumann entropy is invariant under this unitary evolution, then I can write this as the von Neumann entropy change of the system plus the von Neumann entropy change of the bath. And each one of these is positive.
But the second term, you said it, you justified it being equal to zero.
No, so
I can't remember. What, like physically, I mean, usually this is just how the bath changes, but somehow you, in the derivation, you assume the bath is fixed, right? You're refreshing it, so.
No, I don't assume. I mean, the bath changed from this state.
Okay. And so the next one you're refreshing.
So if I refresh, if I use the same one, then I have to do it, so this will be part of the entropy production.
I see.
Do you know if from the so this rho b prime is not an equilibrium state?
Rho b prime is not an equilibrium state.
Could you extract work?
After, yes. I mean, after the interaction, I guess I can do some unitary process to bring it to the passive state, but.
That is important because then you could so if it's true. Then you could pay back some of this work that you injected.
Yes, part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have another question. So here you only look how you thermalize somehow, no?
No. So this is one step of this repeated process, right?
Yes.
So and I look, I take this as definitions of the thermodynamic quantities.
Yes.
This is
no, because I was just wondering, so these two terms that you get there, in a way, so let's say that you only interact epsilon, okay, so like...
Epsilon, you mean short time.
Yeah, like this delta T. In a way, because, so you can show that these two terms go as epsilon squared or as delta T squared.
So on this one, this will disappear.
I think both of them will disappear, so that's what was confusing me.
Because you start this will remain finite. The
I don't know, because you start with a product, okay? So when you create correlations, it's a second order effect somehow, because you are in a minimum of this function. So you are in a minimum of I, and then you are perturbing it delta t. So I would expect this will be delta t squared.
Yeah, so, well, I don't have the argument here completely in mind, but what I can tell you is that when I take the limit, so let me say now what I know for sure, and then so now if I take the limit and this tau to zero. Right? So this guy here divided by tau will be something that I will call dHs plus HB. So this will be and Q divided by tau, which will be Q dot, will be minus D HV. Now, to get this, it was enough with my second order expansion of the evolution operator. But to get this, if I stop at the second order, I get nothing. And the how you call this? The main contribution comes with, I have to do the expansion till the fourth order in the unitary. If not, I don't get this. But this is the finite quantity.
Okay.
And so this should be related to what happened here too.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that you're also making the interaction stronger, no, somehow. So you think
yeah,
this both
this.
Things. Okay, okay.
And I think maybe also that you don't have to start with the system and making real, I guess. Can you verify from making real?
Yes, but these two terms, you don't, yeah. They don't care about this, no? Your system is out of the, I mean, with respect to the bath and to the correlation you create, but not how the system is moved.
So what is this D, regular D is V A V minus square A or system D. So this omega, remember, was the Gibbs state. Right, so so this I did it with one bath, but if I have many baths...
Okay. Is it a good time to stop for a break now or not?
Maybe I can stop with the many baths and...
One.
So many baths, the dynamic will be out of prime u rho s. So many will be just two, omega beta left, omega beta right, and u will be system left right bath coupling with the left coupling with the right. So then everything will, if I do this, I repeat the derivation for the Lindblad dynamics, what I will get is dissipators associated to the bar, to the right and to the left they add, right? So, and then for the work, it will be a sum. So R are the different reservoirs, let's say. Like that, which is VR. So there will be an R here because the coupling will depend on the reservoir. And this will be theta R. So either left or right, and the same for the heat. So connecting and disconnecting these copies of the bath at the left-hand side or at the right-hand side will contribute to the work, and also they will give a heat flow. So the total energy change is this plus dot. This is positive. And so if I consider now the this system, which is the XX chain of H that C one C. So the analogous with the spin to the problem of Amican and Ronnie. So this now the Hamiltonian for the left bus are just copies of spins. This Hamiltonian and the coupling of the these two spins with the copy of the bus is sigma x, sigma x, the left bus, the first side. For the right, so the same magnetic field that in the chain. Okay, so then we plot here. So I will plot here. So all this is in the steady state. So there are beta left smaller, let's say smaller than beta right. And here I put as a parameter the magnetic field of the first spin. So I will draw here. So this curve here is the rate of entropy production. Then there is yellow curve, which is the power, and then so they cross here, and here this is more schematic, will be the heat flowing from the right, and the heat flowing from the left. So there is another point there, which is when HL is equal to HR, where the work or the power vanishes. And then one can see here that how this works as an engine. For instance, in this regime, work is negative. So we're extracting work from the flow of the hot to the cold. And here, in this regime, one can see that this corresponds to the refrigerator, where we do some work, and heat goes from the cold to the hot. Right? Okay, so maybe we can stop here.
Con work input, y entonces resulta que lo que ellos dicen es literalmente verdad. O sea, que en realidad es un refrigerador que la cooling rate y la coefficient of performance.
Sí.
teóricas, a mí siempre me ha interesado el eliminar el modelo virtual, el sistema autónomo, que no funciona, porque hay clics, hay un montón de efectos espurios, no quieres tener. Lo que está diciendo de una manera es que introduciendo, modificando un modelo de introducción de trabajo, está eliminando los clics, está haciendo una máquina que es irreversible, la está convirtiendo en endorreversible.
Y está aumentando
la máxima coeficiente performance. Y una de las cosas que bueno, en los últimos años he estado pensando es cómo eliminar heat leaks y internal dissipation. Yo siempre lo miro desde un punto de vista pasivo, es decir, que no es una densidad espectral para el acoplamiento con cualquiera de los baños, digamos, no sé, work o lo que sea. Y yo qué sé, en vez de tener una densidad espectral cósmica, tal, pues, bueno, vamos a intentar tener una cosa estructurada en la que. De alguna manera me cargo, hacer que no quieran. Y esto es otra manera, ¿no? O sea, de alguna manera, metiendo trabajo, estás haciendo reservado engineering.
Claro. O sea, esto es lo clave. Yo lo veo así, digamos, esto es como una cosa que necesita un agente que pueda estar haciendo estas cosas.
Súper interesado entender cómo un picture como esto, de los kinetic interactions con work, se puede entender desde el punto de vista de un sistema muy sencillo, tú le ves el sistema, lo que sea con driving, acoplado con bike. ¿Qué tipo de driving complicado tendrías que hacer para que? ¿O qué tipo de densidad espectral?
A las copias, tú dices. O...
Sí, o sea, entender eso en forma de collision, entenderlo como un periódico, o no periódico, sino un driven system acoplado a un baño. Y que eso, o sea, ¿cuál sería la densidad espectral de ese baño? ¿Y cuál sería el driving que tengo que hacer?
Porque llegar algo así.
Como... Llegar algo así, una receta que te quita lo que
explica. You are born. Really born.
No, I will tell you, I'm outraged. Because Massimiliano Esposito took a Redfield equation and showed how in the high bias limit with fermions you get a local master equation. So I was before all the others that you cited.
You can take up in the second
half. I know that paper.
You even know the paper.
I didn't realize that was earlier, you know, for me.
So I'm sorry. I was like, do I say it or not? I said, okay, I will not say it.
Yeah, I will do, I will say it. As usual.
No, but I think it's really good that you go systematically through the steps so that everybody understands.
Yeah, because if not, sounds a little bit magical.